Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the debate, the podcast about peace and freedom and progress in European unity. This is now the section about EU days, and now I talk about the 14th of January, the EU day against Pax. You will ask me now, why is Pax Europiana against Pax? But Pax is a nuclear power plant in Hungary, which on the 14th of January 2014, and the Prime Minister of Hungary, Mr. Viktor Orban, he has signed this agreement to build this power plant together with the Russian state energy company Rosatom. And that's actually very bad. Look, I understand the opinions about nuclear energy in general, they are very controversial. Germany is now leaving it. Austria, where I come from, we never had nuclear energy because we built a nuclear power station, then made a referendum. For political reason, there was a no. So we have only this kind of ruin, actually, called Zwentendorf. The Germans have stopped nuclear power as a medium-term option because of Fukushima, the Japanese disaster in 2011. And so we have differences in Europe. France really like it, and they have so much of it. And also we have inherited differences from the Soviet and communist times. Yeah. 30 years ago, it's only the end of the communist empire in Europe. And obviously the countries which are new in European Union, they still have energy built by the Soviet experts, and they have strong links. Yeah. So I'm personally, to make a statement, I'm neutral on nuclear energy. It might be some countries who have it, some other countries don't like it. I'm not very passionate defender of either nuclear energy or not. I'm just thinking in two things. We need enough energy for our consumers and our businesses. It should be also relatively reasonable priced, but okay, we can have also expensive energy if it serves a purpose. Yeah, and we should be relatively energy independent from Russia. But here it comes. We are not. We have energy projects, new energy projects. Like this in Pax, it's in Hungary. It's a 10 billion euro deal, which was signed on the 14th of January 2014. And may this day live in infamy. Because really, this was the same year, remember. It was exactly when the Ukrainian revolution, Euromaidan, started at the end of November 2013. And then in December already, it was really going bigger. And Ukraine and Hungary are very close countries. They are neighboring countries. And while the Euromaidan revolution was entering its first climax in the middle of December with this big loan of Yanukovych and the non-signing and so, Orban signed the first big deal with Mr. Miller from Gazprom on the 11th of December 2013. Yeah. And then while everything was going really wild in Ukraine, Orban signed another deal with Rosatom for 10 billion to do this nuclear renovation and this next phase of the Pax power plant, of a nuclear power plant. You know, and this is the timeline. And since then, obviously, Hungary is very close ally of Russia, despite being in NATO and in EU, but has blocked Ukraine fully, is now blocking the sanctions against Navalny, and so on and so on. And in all consistent the last 7 years, Hungary has blocked Ukraine in every single decision that was possible. Yes, and also has been very soft on all the measures. Always Hungary is trying to make some kind of line to stay within the EU consensus, but making it so complicated in all the steps that it basically is, for all extent and purposes, not fully in NATO, not fully in the EU, and a Russian client state because of these energy relations. And that's very shameful. And here we come, it's not the only country in Eastern Europe which has a nuclear power station funded or in close cooperation or in built by Rosatom or renovated by Rosatom. Bulgaria, Slovakia, Czech Republic and Hungary. Four major or medium European countries of New Europe, and they are in close economic relation with Rosatom. But it's also Finland. Finland has a new reactor. It's now not finished. It's a bit delayed with Rosatom. The name is something like Harikuri or something. Excuse me for that one. I'm also not very good in Finnish names. So it's 5 European countries, and that's not all. Also still in Ukraine, despite all the changes and maybe some improvement that they have tried to reorientate their nuclear energy industry towards the Western European cooperation. Still a lot of material and stuff is coming from Russia. And also now there is this test phase and then soon opening of the next nuclear station in Belarus. So in Belarus we have no influence, I'm clear. But on Ukraine, it wants to join NATO and EU. And on the four countries from Bulgaria to Slovakia to Czech Republic, I mean, they are fully part of NATO and EU. And Finland is not in NATO, but it is in the EU, definitely. And so here comes my point. Yeah? We have in Europe from the start, from 57, we have a so-called Euratom Treaty. We have also a European Nuclear Energy Supply Agency. And we have a whole idea and the whole idea of being a nuclear energy union. But now, can anybody explain me what we are doing? Because we have these 5 nuclear projects, very big one, and the new one of Pax in Hungary, in the European Union, 5. And is it really very good to work so closely in such an important strategic sector with Russia, while Russia is doing an invasion, we have sanctions, Russia is bombing Syria. For all extent and purposes, Russia is a hostile state. You might not call it the enemy state, yeah? We are not at war. But, you know, when you are in such a hostile environment, with such a toxic relation with Russia, is it really very wise that the Czech Republic, the Slovak Republic, Bulgaria, Hungary and Finland work in such an important strategic sector like nuclear energy so closely with a Russian state energy company? I don't think so. And why this is, you know, some of it, of course, can be explained by the typical things. Because in the past, they were also working together. The people knew each other. The technology was the Soviet one. And so in the 90s, when everything stabilized, they simply continued the normal day-to-day cooperation, and then there was friendship, there was... Some can be explained obviously by the well-known and well-established corruption schemes which the Russian state energy companies, Gazprom and Rosatom, are generally very keen to use and are very famous for using. Please watch the Navalny videos. Yeah. But some of it is also that we in the European Union are in a kind of civil war on energy, especially on the issue not only about decarbonization, that's now a new thing, but the nuclear issue is always very nuclear in the European Union. We have these very ardent believers against nuclear energy, like for example Austria, but also others, and we have these very strict believers in nuclear energy, like France. Yeah? And so we fight. That leads to the fact that, for example, our European institutions seem not to be particularly keen in funding nuclear power plants. And so what is happening? We have, of course, it's very expensive to renovate the post-Soviet power plant. And then the international funding agencies, or also the EU funding agency, mainly the EIB and the EBRD, are maybe not keen to fund a project like Pax. Now, yeah, okay, who else is there? It's either America, Europe, or it's Russia. And Russia has these old networks. Russia has the interest to bully into it. It's maybe also cheaper and also pays nice kickbacks. And so the story goes. And then they also are smart enough to always work with Siemens and with Framatome and Areva from France to always buy some kind of subcontractor network so that everybody gets part of the cake. But the main funding and the main project and this strategic cooperation with Russia in the Czech Republic, in the Slovak Republic, in Bulgaria, in Hungary, in Finland, and in Ukraine and in Belarus, then comes attached and the Russians get this business. And I don't think it's very good. And the idea of the European Union was, in the beginning, I think, to have some unified nuclear energy approach. Yeah? Obviously, that's impossible. I don't call for one European nuclear policy that we are far from. But I call, we can not, for example, say We want no nuclear energy. We want no carbon energy. We need energy. That's no doubt. We have this kind of terawatt of consumption need. Yeah? We can reduce a bit and save energy, but we need energy for life, for welfare, for prosperity, for economic, manufacturing, industry, and heating, and all the other things which we have to do. Yeah? So that's one thing I have to establish here. And the second one is, we can, of course, cancel certain specific industries. Yeah? I'm not particularly keen on the nuclear energy. I'm not particularly keen on any specific form of energy. But we cannot cut down one of the energy sources in Europe just in order to give Russia a great business opportunity. That's strategically non-acceptable. That's absolutely a no-go. If we want to have, for example, less nuclear energy, yes, but then we have to avoid that specific countries then run and make a deal with Russia. I mean, it's utterly unbelievable. If the Hungarians want to build their power plant and it's nuclear, and then basically we do not fund it via the European institutions like the EIB, and then we feel very good because we have blocked this funding line for the Hungarian power plant. Yeah, but you know, when you fund it, you can also ask them to use Western technology. You can say build it with French or Swedish or American technology, and you can have a much safer and much better power plant than the other alternative is with a Russian technology and with Russian strategic influence and with Russian blackmail power and with Russian kickback systems. I mean, that's completely wrong. I mean, I cannot even understand why we have a victory in Austria. We stopped this EIB funding that power plant. Wonderful. It's like a business opportunity for Russia, which we created. I mean, is this on purpose or what? Yeah. I mean, this is really bad policy, because when we then have this kind of, first of all, it's economically bad, you know, we, of course, import now up to 20% of European uranium for energy use is coming from the Russian Federation. 20%, it's huge sums. Yeah? Why not buy it from friendly powers like, let's say, Kazakhstan, yeah, or Australia? They have also Canada, yeah. There's more uranium exporters, yeah? And much better to have this country supported with our business than Russia funding the tanks. The same logic like with Nord Stream 2. I mean, we don't have any kind of geostrategic commission at the moment, yeah? So geostrategically, our interest is to fund our enemies less and to buy less from Russia when Russia is doing these aggressions from Syria, Ukraine, Georgia, Libya, and fighting in the, also funding populist parties and left-wing parties and funding all these anti-European activities and funding Trump. Yes, and we do then fund Putin with our nuclear deals. And, you know, when the Hungarians think they want to have nuclear power, who are we to say them not to do it? But if they do it, they should do it safe and strategically in the framework of the European situation. Then we make the funding business, we make the nuclear power station, we as a European industry in a sense, or American industry, or maybe Japanese industry if you like that, but that's maybe not such a good idea. Nevertheless, you know, there is many, maybe, and then the Chinese come in with the proposals. I mean, we cannot do this kind of internal civil wars on specific energy questions, leading then the Russians and Chinese working together with smaller governments, which are also in the European Union, which are on the other side of that kind of debate, the resulting then that we have this reality of five nuclear power stations done by Rosatom in the year 2021. I mean, that's really a day that shall live in infamy, and especially the Hungarian politics, because attached with such major investments comes also some kind of access to the prime minister. And then the Russian ambassador says, you know, for us it's a real problem if Ukraine has this starting this NATO accession process. For us it's a real problem if there is sanctions. Oh, Viktor, can you please block this in Brussels? And then he sends all his soldiers, Ferrari and how they are called, and Judith Wagner, and they make a big mess in the Coreper, and we are in this situation that the world is laughing about us now in the Navalny case. We are super tweeters, but in reality, it's not serious. Nobody is afraid. Nobody thinks that the unity of Europe is so strong. No, because all of them say, the Hungarians again blocked this kind of statement, and we look like half ready in a way. And that's a real problem. So much for sovereignty, actually. And so I call to have a really serious debate about our energy policy. The 14th of January should always be a reminder when we have our inconsistencies, this turns to business opportunities for the Russians or the Chinese. And in this concrete case, I call that the EIB is allowed to buy all these five energy companies and take over the funding arrangements. Obviously, Rosatom must be reimbursed at market value, and we don't want to steal anything from them. But all these nuclear power stations need to be Europeanized by the EIB, and there should be one publicly owned company, which is called European Nuclear Energy, where this kind of energy projects from Rosatom are pooled. And also others who want to have a nuclear power station can go to the EIB nuclear station and nuclear power organization and get an agreement to have nuclear power. We are not the European Union against nuclear power. No, that's neither our history nor our future. There is anyhow so much nuclear power in Europe. Yeah? And if some countries want to have a new one or not, there must be a commercial case, there must be done. But inside the European value chain, from funding, from the production, or at least what we don't have in Europe because we don't have enough uranium, let's get it from friendly nations who are our FTA trade partners, like Canada. Like some African nations also have uranium. I saw the list now, but I don't remember. Niger or some other countries. But also Australia has a lot, and Kazakhstan. And maybe there will be other sources. But let's not buy everything from Russia in that sense, and not make this kind of dependency, and not export our inconsistency in energy strategy then to the benefit of Russia. And I know it's expensive, what I call, and I know it's controversial, and some people say, no, then we are part of the nuclear energy. But, energy is indivisible. We can fool the people with saying the situation that, you buy only a clean energy, you buy only alternative energy. How you make the difference when you go to your plug in your apartment, what kind of energy comes out of there? And everything which is in the net is one energy. I mean, it's completely foolish idea that you can somehow buy only water or hydro energy or solar energy. I mean, what is in the net is in the net. Yeah? How this all comes up is, of course, a question. But we are not in a situation as Austria to impose on Sweden or on Finland their energy policy, because that's the mix and the responsibility of the people up there and of democracy up there. But we are in a discussion in Europe where there are Ukrainian people dying every day because of Russian tanks. There is this Russian aggression, so it makes no sense to allow Russia to do that. And obviously, they have already done it, so we have then to bail them out and buy them out of Europe. Yeah? These are the five power plants, maybe the Ukrainian as well, and say, this is 50 billion, thank you very much, Rosatom, goodbye. That's the way to do it, if we are a united Europe and sovereign. If not, then we are anyhow just for the picking and choosing of the rich powers and buffers, as it is the case at the moment. Yeah? And then I choose the American side, please. And if you choose the Russian side, goodbye. Don't listen to me, because it will be too exciting to you, for you what I will have else to say in the coming weeks. But that's the idea, basically. The 14th of January shall live as the day of shame of the Hungarian deals during the Ukrainian crisis to do behind the back of the Ukrainians these terrible, dirty deals. And we should also be ashamed ourselves that we have not helped Hungary to do it before. Maybe they were asking before for this funding and they didn't get it, so they ran to the Russians. Maybe it was also like that. I'm not privy to any kind of this inside information, but I can just say it's wrong that it happened. It shall live in shame and infamy on the 14th of January. Please always remember that day for exactly this, for this kind of backdoor energy deals with Putin's state energy company. And I call for the EIB to buy all these projects and make one European company owned by the European Union via the EIB to manage and run and fund such energy projects. The states like Hungary, Slovakia can be shareholder or in such a European energy company for nuclear energy, or they can be not, or they can receive debt exchange or whatever kind of arrangement, but no Russia, no Rosatom in the European Union, and no Rosatom in Ukraine and in any of the future NATO and EU members. Please, that has to stop fully and forever. In this mandate, Russia must be bought out. Thanks a lot.